when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Ad News Podcast. The podcast that celebrates the industry's penchant for a sociable drop and a chat.
Welcome to the Ad News Podcast, produced for us by Nova. This is a special edition of our podcast from our Ad News Live Reframing Australia event.
Our next presentation is a duo which many of you will probably be familiar with. One brand and ad campaign over the last couple of years which has consistently kind of pushed the boundaries and definitely got the subject of multiculturalism and diversity in advertising in the headlines is Meat and Livestock Australia's You Never Lamb Alone. So if I could introduce Scott now from the Monkees and Andrew Howie from the former marketing manager of Meat and Livestock Australia to take to the stage, and then I will join them for a short Q&A afterwards.
We're doing it up here.
I think we just do it everywhere.
Alright. Tony Robbins style.
Yeah. Got the Madonna microphones going. Well, firstly, thank you very much for having us. As Rosie touched on, Scott and I do spend a bit of time together. And I guess when we talk about this stuff, we always like to start by saying we talk a lot about diversity and the importance of doing it, and we don't necessarily represent it ourselves.
Two white middle-aged blokes in blue sports jackets and brown shoes. Here we are. You know, we did a similar kind of thing at the Australian Multicultural Awards last year, and the irony wasn't lost on us.
No. And I guess it's an important place to start because it doesn't necessarily matter who you are, what your background is, or where you come from, etc. You know, your personal purpose and finding brands or working on brands that also have really clear purpose. And so what we'll go through today, I actually don't even know how to work this thing, but oh, if I press that. All right, so connecting with the new younger target audience. So I always start by saying that MLA did and has always done great advertising. And Scott and I have just been lucky enough over the last 3 or 4 years to be in a position to have some sort of influence over that. And our personal conversation we have is making sure that we leave the place in better shape than we found it. And so I guess, you know, to Rosie's point, I'm kind of talking about a past life here, but I am really proud of the work that we share today. But it actually started in about 1989. This is Naomi Watts. You might know Naomi Watts. She's a super mega Hollywood star, but she actually started out, and there was nothing dodgy about this. Like, I know people have had to do really weird stuff to get a break in Hollywood, but actually all she had to do was do this for us.
Okay, folks, here we go. We're going to dial the winner of our Dinner with Tom Cruise competition.
Hello.
Hello, Julie Rankin.
Yeah.
Nice work, Julie. You've scored a dinner with Tom Cruise.
Ew.
Yes, the stretch limousine will take you to a top city restaurant, then a romantic dinner, just you and
Tom.
Fantastic.
When?
Tonight.
Tonight? I'm sorry, I can't.
What?
What? Mum's doing a lamb roast.
Oh, great, yeah.
I hope you realise I gave up a dinner with Tom Cruise for this.
Never mind, love. You can go out with him any night.
Right, so that's 1989. Naomi, before she was a Hollywood star, but she's very much a Hollywood star now. We had this dream of recreating that ad a couple of years ago, $750,000.
Just for her.
Her fee's gone up a little bit over the years. Even for where, you know, her big break, didn't really care about. The funny thing is the dad in that video, in that piece of content, is actually my best mate's dad. And I always laugh because they dubbed over his voice. So whenever he brings it up, I go, yeah, mate, but your voice isn't good enough for television. So just try and keep him on an even keel. But, you know, I guess the reality is that the target audience that that ad reached kind of looks like this now. And they're my parents. They're Scott's parents. They're probably in their 70s. They've retired. And there's a couple of issues with that. Whilst they have a higher disposable income, they actually purchase less. So their portion is getting smaller. So from a value perspective, they're still really important to us. But volume-wise, they're starting to decline. And so unless we find a way to reconnect with a new younger Australia, you know, in the next few years, we're going to see a real cliff from a volume perspective. So, you know, the way we used to reach them was pretty straightforward. Just buy 60 minutes Sunday night, chuck a 30 on, and you probably probably hit about 80% of the population. You know, but the reality is that, you know, Australia's moved on. So 1990, there was only 5 TV channels. Go forward to 2000, there's over 50. There's zero paid TV, up to 20%. Smartphones don't exist. The internet's just kind of taken off, but half the time it got interrupted because you were trying to play some crazy game and your mum wanted to call someone. Mum, get off the phone! We probably all remember that, and tablets don't exist, right? Fast forward to 2015, you've got over 150 TV channels. There's a proliferation of media. The reference has actually dropped off this, but it's actually Magna Data, courtesy of UM. So if you want to know the actual source, I haven't just made the numbers up, which I sometimes do. But you can see there's a lot of radio. Pay TV, interestingly, still only at 34%, and you find that that's actually fairly constant. You're not seeing huge droves of pay TV cutting through. Internet penetration is still only at 80%, you know, and I think when you look at, you know, the plebiscite result today and you see that around 38% of people still voted no, you actually find there's pockets of rural Australia that still don't have access to the internet. And, you know, that number I always find quite surprising. It's still only 73% of people have smartphones, and tablets have finally started to take off. So the challenge we've got is that this is what modern Australia now looks like.
Apart from the chambray shirts, it should be pointed out, not everyone dresses in the same shirt.
Yeah, they're actually all people from your agency, are they? It's all your staff.
Pretty much.
Just paid them $50 to be an extra. Yeah. They're all from the Monkees. But, you know, it's gone from being, you know, my parents who are, they're also immigrants, right? They came out from Europe, but they don't look any different to anyone else. And I always say, well, diversity is more than just appearance. You've got age, you've got ability, you've got gender, you've got orientation, it's religion, which no doubt will pop up at some point today. But, you know, it's about making sure the campaign actually had a purpose and was genuine about communicating with a whole bunch of different audiences. So Scotty can probably talk a little bit about the actual execution of that.
Do you want to watch it first? Let's
yeah,
watch
okay.
The...
where is it? Here.
Hi, I'm Luke Jacobs with a Z, and I'm here to address concerns that too many perky white males are contributing to a lack of diversity on our screens.
We couldn't agree more. Hey, Sakura. Hey, Mustafa. So we're getting together over the ultimate cross-cultural protein to help put this right. We've got everyone in the room.
Well, technically, it's not a room.
Hey, let's not be spaces.
Exactly.
Hey, Dad.
Shh.
Sorry.
We've got all the stands.
Got
Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and this guy, Stan. People of colour? I mean, who isn't? Oh. We've got our white whites, translucent whites, beige whites, red whites, and our dark whites who are darker than the light dark guys.
It's a thing.
All religions, faiths, and beliefs.
Can I talk to you about Jesus?
Yeah, sure.
He's talking to 40.
It's Jesus.
Jesus. Ooh, thank you. Ooh. Oh, and of course, Jordan's here. She's Greek and proud. Do you know what the best thing is about diversity? Everything. So let's stop talking about it and get together over the meat that doesn't discriminate. Right. Lamb's ready. So, who was here first?
That'd be us.
Right, you are.
Why are we still talking about not talking about diversity?
I give up.
Extra bonus bit at the end there. That wasn't on the official
film. No, I think
film,
that under the cutting room floor along the way. Anyway, never seen before.
But that was That was an excellent, I suppose, pivotal moment for us where we, as a brand, Lamb stands for unity, bringing people together over a lamb meal. And we'd done that in a couple of different ways, but this was the first time we'd gone, you know what, let's talk about Australia and what Australians are, who Australians are for real. If you get off a plane and you look around an airport arrivals hall, what do you see? You don't see what you normally see in Australian media. Mm. And right at that time, and point of interest, we'd originally put Waleed Ali as the main character there, doing the talk all the way across. But he, in the meantime, between us doing this, he won a Gold Logie and got up and did the joke that we'd scripted, yeah. Which was, do not adjust your sets. And so we quickly had to think of something else. But, you know, find another actor. Arkadas was an incredible Bengali, Australian, brilliant actor. But this was a real conscious step on our part because it's been a brand that's been about Australia Day. And a couple of years ago, we did a thing for Australia Day that it was just starting to feel like it wasn't right to talk about Australia Day. If you're a brand that talks about unity and comes from a place of unity, how can you talk about and stand for Australia Day when you've got this population?
Are you going to talk about this, or are you just going to
I'm getting there. I always do. So we decided that there had to be a move, but it wasn't going to happen at the next Australia Day thing. So we thought, you know, let's talk about Australia as it is, as a move towards a unified Australia, and then how can we celebrate Australia? But what we did here, made the film. Put every piece of, I don't know, every...
There was 130 cast and it was shot in one take. So we spent a whole day practicing and then a half day trying to get it right before we started shooting.
I think that was take 24.
Yeah.
But we tried to get every single person that could possibly represent, you know, Australia in there, and apparently we failed because we got a few people saying, hey, well, I wasn't included, but it was only a few. But we had to be authentic about it, so we went out to Alfred's point previously. We wanted to talk in people's language, so we've had a very simple line, lamb tastes good in any language, and we translated that all over the place.
So we used Identity, who actually spoke this morning, and we worked with them to go through and use the census data and understand the top 5 spoken languages in Australia, but then beyond that, where they were spoken. And so then what we actually did was we partnered with oMedia to buy outdoor placements that were in and around congregations of people who spoke that language, then put it in publications, served it through Facebook. So people who listed a particular language in their Facebook profile, then we served them ads in that language. And we actually even did a couple of installations with oMedia that were in Braille. And people have done it really big, kind of replicating what Braille looks like, but we've actually worked with people from that community who said, well, that's actually disingenuous. So if you went up and actually ran your finger along an outdoor ad, a couple of them for oMedia actually said lamb tastes good in any language. So again, I think we're talking about authenticity before and about you know, trust, and you know, when we try and do these things, we always have authenticity and trust at our core. Should we rail through to Oz Day?
Yeah, or do you want to make the point that we're making things that people actually choose to engage with?
Yeah, well, so like, well, there was ads versus content, but we look at it as making content because people actually want to watch it instead of cat videos. Skip past that. You know, and it generated a huge amount of earned media. Australia just made the most diverse ad ever. You know, and that was really the intention, was to try and make sure that we could show the true face of Australia, not just the one they see on television. And, you know, 5.6 million views, of which about, I don't know, 60% were organic, I think, or 40% were organic. And the earned media, 166 million impressions generated from 372 pieces of coverage. So it's not actually even just the video that we create or the outdoor ad, it's actually the talkability that comes from that and the fact that it goes into mainstream media and they publish stories about it. And we sold a lot of lamb, you know, and I guess that's really what it's about. At the end of the day, we sold 5.3%, which is nothing compared to what you'll see for Australia Day, but for spring, that was a record spring. So to Scotty's point, we had a problem. We'd made this ad that was about diversity and bringing Australia together, but to make a campaign about Australia Day to follow that up, which is where we were trying to get to, would seem disingenuous, and around 9 to 10% of the Australian population associate with an Indigenous heritage, Australian Indigenous heritage. So we realised that we couldn't make an ad about Australia Day, despite the fact that after 12 years of doing that, that was the thing that we'd become known for. So we had a long journey in making this. Scotty had hair like mine before we started.
It was pretty stressful.
We had our script was leaked, which we'd never sort of come across before. It was an early script that had stuff in there. And if you want to know where the edge is, sometimes you've got to put your toes over the side to find out. And there was a lot of commentary about that. And Scotty and I were on the phone. I was like, man, what do we do? He's like, I don't know. And he Googled leaked script and up came Star Wars Episode 8. And we're like, yeah. All right, on the scale of problems here, like I think Lucasfilms have got bigger issues than we do. You know, it's kind of fun when those things happen just to bring you back down to size and help level you out a little bit. But, you know, we continued to consult and we consulted widely and heavily, I guess, to try and get to a place where Indigenous Australia were willing participants in this. And we actually ended up with Reconciliation Australia posting this to their Facebook page once it went live. So we kind of knew that through consultation and talking to everyone that we'd got to a pretty good spot. So we'll play it and then talk about it.
First air.
Hey, what do you reckon?
Cracking spot. Fly up the barbie.
Anyone else coming?
Oh, a beautiful spot like this, it'll be packed before you know it. Oh, here we go.
Did you organise the chips and dips?
Yeah.
Great spot.
Oh, thank you.
How long have you guys been here?
Since forever, mate.
Hey, where are you all from?
We, sir, are from Great Britannia. We are the first fleet.
Yeah, not quite, mate.
Bonjour.
Oh, my God, it's the French.
Fromage.
It's the Germans.
Oh. At least they brought their own.
Who's bringing the ice?
How many bags do we need, Dougie?
Keep shipping, Shackles. It's going to be me.
My china's right. Now, where'd you get those?
This week.
What's this? 16th First Fleet.
Oi, it's the Italians, the Greeks, and Serbians?
Hey, mate, do you know where the backyard is?
We've got about 4,000 k's of it out here. Need a wicket?
Trust me, we need one of these around 2 a.m. Chili sauce?
You did. Remember to let the neighbours know, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Choice barbecue, eh, bro?
Hey, where should we put the chili, man?
I couldn't keep them away. Should we crack a vegan joke?
Nah.
It's not a party with our eyes. Well,
hey, guys, what's the occasion?
Do we need one?
Look, it's the boat people.
Hang on. Aren't we all boat people?
And you're welcome.
What is that? Look, it's the boat people.
Thanks for having us, guys. Great spot for a barbie.
Best in the world.
Mm. I still get little hairs on the back of my neck that go up. You know, just that line, he says, great spot for a barbie. And he says, yeah, best in the world. You know, I think that was the message we were trying to nail in that. And even making it wasn't without its troubles on the set on day two.
Yeah, Howie says, there was a lot of consultation with Reconciliation Australia and other Indigenous groups. And I don't think I've ever been more nervous in my life about, you know, doing the right thing by one group of Australians, and I think we all were, as this job. And the consultation went through many different levels and... You know, even down to on set where we'd get to a point and the main actor said, oh, look, I just don't feel like I can say this, and the sun's going down, you're running out of time to shoot, and I was sitting there going, all right, if you've agreed to this script for the last month or so, what do you want to say? What do you feel like's right for you? And it was about the we're all boat people, and he said, we're not boat people, we want to say you're welcome or something like that. So that's what we ended up with. But that's, you know, last 5 seconds of that moment it comes to fruition. But
Scotty's actually been generous. The guy wouldn't say the line. Script had been approved. It was on set. It was lunchtime, day two. I can get grumpy, believe it or not. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And the guy wouldn't deliver the line because he felt passionately about it. And so anyway, we negotiated on the set and we got there, but you know, neither Paul Middleditch, who shot that, or Scott had experience of actors not wanting to actually follow through on the script that was agreed. So right until the very end, there was consultation going on and having to be flexible in what it looked like.
The conversation was fine. It's just that it happened on set as opposed to a week earlier when we could have figured it out. But that's okay. You know, these things happen, and we ended up with something that I think most people are very proud of. And you know, my father-in-law, who works in the Prime Minister's office in Indigenous Affairs, had it sent round to him. Oh, I was petrified the day it went out. It had it sent round to him by his boss, who's Indigenous, with an extremely positive message. And he called me and said, look, I think it's going to be all right. I went, okay, good.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's hard because, you know, no matter how hard you try and how much you consult, you still recognise that you're not going to get everyone on side with the kind of work that we've become known for doing. Interestingly, though, there was zero complaints that were able to be accepted by the ASB. The one before had a bunch of people complaining because we were discriminating against white guys, which didn't go anywhere because the white.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
White whites.
Yeah, the white whites.
Got angry,
perky white males.
Yeah.
But this one had no complaints. There was a couple people complained that we didn't say Australia Day. We said, well, we sell lamb, not Australia Day, so it doesn't have to say that. And so none of them had to be responded to. But 9.3 million views, and I think that's continued to grow since the campaign period's ended. But what's cool about it was 60% were organic. And so what it means is it actually changes your marketing strategy and your media strategy from being a paid strategy, because 60% of those were free, so about 5 odd million were free, 5.4, and so you can actually pull paid media from behind the content because it's getting so many organic views, and you can redistribute it into your other channels which are on path to purchase. So you can put it behind digital outdoor, you can put it behind display, you can put it into radio if you're using radio. So you actually re-divert your money, and it's actually got to the point now where our organic views are so high that our marketing and media mix is very different to what it was, say, back when Richie's Barbecue was one of the first ones we did together a few years ago, and we only got about 1.5 million views back then. And now we're, you know, I mean, spring this year, with all its hurdles that we've had to overcome, has had over 12 million views, of which 90% have been organic. So this idea of organic views and creating content that people want to watch that's not traditional advertising, there's kind of an opportunity there for everyone, and one that we've really worked hard to exploit. Nearly 1,500 pieces of media coverage with a combined audience of over 300 million. So if you put those two campaigns we've shown you together today, it's just shy of 2,000 pieces of media coverage with a combined viewership or opportunity to see of nearly 500 million. So they're really, really big numbers. And a huge sales uplift. So that's a 2-week sales uplift versus the yearly average, nearly 37%. And our favourite part of the whole thing, Scotty?
Career highlight, being called a politically correct ratbag
by Pauline
Hanson. But it goes to show, in the context of...
From the former One Nation Party, which now has actually no members, I believe.
But the reframing Australia context, it's nice to know that, you know, in our own tiny way, you can affect the Australian narrative.
you don't. It's not all just about chucking diverse faces on screen or whatever. You can, you know, 9 million views over 2 weeks. That's a third of the country saw that.
Including babies,
and you can affect in your own little way. All of us here, like, how are we changing the narrative? What is the Australian narrative? It feels like we're at a point where it's like, okay, we're a bit over the living off the sheep's back and the lifesavers and you know cliched white Australians. But what is it now?
What's next? Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, I think Rosie wanted to ask us questions, so I hope we didn't talk for too long.
No, you're all good.
Okay.
Thank you both very much. If you want to just take a seat.
Sure.
Hopefully no really difficult questions. And we will open the questions to the floor as well. So if you do have a question, do raise your hand and a mic will come to you. We have about 12 minutes, so we'll try and whip through some questions. We'll touch on the controversy that you guys have touched on a little bit there. But I wanted to pick up on something that actually was said in our opening session this morning by Maureen Faruqi, who is a Greens MP. She talked a lot about the efforts in advertising and media to target communities and kind of bring diversity and multiculturalism in are still being very much a box-ticking exercise, and it can still be very skin deep, and it kind of reverts to stereotypes. And the stereotypes is something you guys have deliberately done in those ads. So I wanted to kind of touch on why you went with that sort of approach of taking on those cultural stereotypes and why you think that's a kind of the positive way to bring the conversation in and approach it that way.
Looking at me?
I'm looking at you. But
okay, there's sort of...
I just avoided eye contact for that one.
Okay, there's a couple of things there. There's box ticking, or you can live it. And the brand that we're living is about unity and bringing Australians together. And if you look at Australian media, it's still frighteningly white. You put together a case study of the stuff that we've done there, and you get all the media that's been done about it, whether it's Sunrise or whatever today, whatever it is, it's almost all white still, and which was the basis of where we started with that spring campaign with Arcadas. So in that case, that was box-ticking for the sake of saying, why the fuck are we box-ticking? This is stupid. Get out there, anywhere. Go out the front of the building here and look around. It's not what you see reflected in media, and that's the comment we were trying to make. Mm-hmm.
And so you guys are obviously taking this deliberate approach, and you said it's a very conscious decision to kind of be doing the right thing and be tackling it. Why do you think that so much advertising is still so frighteningly white, as you say? Why aren't other brands doing it so overtly? Why isn't it happening?
Well, I think you only have to reference this morning's postal outcome to see that 38% of the population were prepared to vote no. We're not a progressive society. We are not a lot of the things that we think we are. We're not easygoing, we're none of these things. It's a facade that we put up, and we actually probably dine out on our past, but even then we weren't great at this stuff. You think about term WOG, you know, and so many shameful things that we look back in Australia's history. We've never really been very welcoming of people here. I think we just have short memories. We forget this and we kind of live in chapters, but so many brands are not prepared to go and do this because unintentionally we're still living in the past.
And something else that was touched upon this morning, and I've had conversations with people in the past about, is that a lot of people say that it's too labour intensive and too expensive and too difficult to target their messages at different communities, because you're kind of trying to balance up being a mass marketer who targets the whole population as well as having, you know, nuanced messages to different communities. What's your kind of view on that, and how you balance out the effort that it takes and the payback and the business argument for that?
We only need one message, right, Scotty?
Yeah, I mean, it's look outside. What is the mass market?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the purpose of Lamb all the way back to when Naomi Watts was in our ads, was about, it's the meat that brings people together, right? And so that's unwavering over 30 years, and this purpose of bringing people together or unity has been unchanged. So the message that we put out there only ever has to be based around this idea that lamb is the meat that you eat when you come together. And you can say that in 4,000 different languages. All you need is someone, Google Translate, who'll do a shit job of trying to get it pretty close. That's not labour intensive. There's ways of doing this. I think people try and come up with different messages, and, you know, and we'll probably come onto it in a minute, but, you know, so much of what we talk about is that we as humans add layers onto ourselves to try and differentiate ourselves. We get different haircuts, or we wear different types of clothes, or we like a different sporting team, or we like a particular band, or we have a religious following. And these are all things that we put on top of ourselves. When you strip all that away, at the end of the day, we're all fairly similar with the same, you know, basic values wherever you are in the world. You just want safety. You want to raise your kids in an environment where they can prosper, and you just want to be happy.
So, very deep, Howie.
Well, I don't have a job at the moment, mate, so I can philosophise.
We might come back to that one as well. So you also touched on the controversy that you guys have kind of courted in a lot of your advertising. Sometimes the complaints don't get upheld, but they do create a lot of discussion.
Never. They've never been upheld, by the way. Always
never.
Been dismissed.
But they do attract a number of complaints. And there is also a sort of a deliberately controversial message there that gets people talking.
Yeah.
There's obviously an inherent risk in taking a strategy that is controversial or will garner complaints. How do you sort of weigh up the balance between it being controversial for the sake of being controversial or controversial to drive the message and make the right point?
Well, I don't think it's ever controversial for the sake of it. I think we have just been prepared to say things that other people won't say. And often the things that people are talking about, so many of the topics that we try and tackle are water cooler conversations. It's what Australians are actually talking about. But some of the things are not things that we say in the open. We're only prepared to say them in our own homes. But the idea that Australia is not white, we've moved on, I don't think is... I mean, it's controversial to say it, but I don't believe it's actually really controversial.
Mm. Scott, for your team, what's the sort of... how do you approach the controversy?
Well, you want to get a message across, and in this case, it's always unity, done in different ways.
Mm.
Sometimes when you're going for that, like I think Howie said it earlier, you don't always get it right, and things there's oversights, and sometimes you get things that you think, oh my God, we didn't think of that. Your purpose is to try and make commentary around we should all be coming together or getting around the dinner table more often, no matter what religion you are. It's
remember we did Operation Boomerang and we've spent all this time trying to respond to feedback that was too white. So we've got Li Lin Chin, who's not white and not male, did all this stuff, and we were so busy trying to respond to that we called it Operation Boomerang just because it was kind of the name seemed suitable. And as soon as it hit, everyone's like, oh, you've misappropriated Indigenous Australian culture. And we were literally devastated that we'd made such a simple oversight in that. And we were so upset that we'd offended a group that was not, you know, was actually... unfortunately, collateral damage and all that, because we really didn't want to do that.
It was actually, in that case, mostly white Australians being offended on the Indigenous behalf, but that happens a lot.
Yeah, they drown out people, the conversation.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Concerned Australia, I call them. There's a lot of them.
They all live near you.
It's all my neighbours. Always goes quiet in January. No, I don't get to go on any barbecues. He's done it again.
And so you guys are obviously taking a very overt message. Something else that came up this morning was talking about advertising agencies and sort of the choices that are made in casting. And often it's a kind of a lazy process to kind of cast the person that you've always cast. How are you guys in your agency, Scott, trying to do the same kind of thing for multiculturalism with your other clients? And how do you approach casting decisions and the creative decisions that you make?
Well, it's a really good question, and one that's been we've been grappling with for years. I mean, we used to do work for Australia's leading pay television provider, and
only 34% penetration though.
But you would, they were a fantastic group. But you put the casting up, and people would say, "Oh, I don't really like that person." You say, "Why?" Well, they're they'd be darker than the other people. But you're saying, "But they're the best actor," and this is Australia. And those, you know, that changed very slowly over time you're still having these conversations today where we've got past this, you know, the whole diversity thing where we came out with that spot, and then there was the John Cena thing in America.
Yeah.
And then it hit like fever pitch over the course of a few months in the Super Bowl, and then Pepsi completely jumped the shark. And I think since that moment, you know, it's so... concentrated on, you know, people going, oh, we should have someone of different appearance in here. And all our consideration is, are they the best at what they're doing? Do they represent the people that they're trying to represent the best?
It's an interesting point, though, because I don't know why, and I can't base this on anything, but so many actors that seem to be available for the roles that we need aren't diverse themselves.
No, that's true. You don't have a diverse palette in this country. You just
so it
don't.
Makes it hard to try and find them. And sometimes... you have to take the second best performance if you're doing the work that we do, because you need to make sure that you've got that split.
So but the worst thing you can do is be token, and you see a lot of that in the States. You see, you know, there's a group of four, and there's the Chinese guy, there's the black guy,
a beer ad.
There's the white girl, and the Hispanic, and that, I mean, that's just bullshit.
Mm. It doesn't talk to the kind of authenticity you're talking about.
Let's just be real. About
hey, mate, do you want to come for a beer? Can you make sure we've got an even representation of the population there? Okay.
So I've got one more question before we do open the floor to some questions. So Howie, you did mention, don't have a job at the moment. You are soon to start a new gig at Westpac.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can't talk for Westpac yet, but how do you hope to be kind of taking this type of approach into your new organisation, into what you kind of do there?
Look, I think ownable and distinctive is really the strategy, creating work that people, when they see it, recognise it's work for Westpac. I think, you know, bringing the brand's purpose to life and having that present in all the work that's going on. It's a pretty big organisation, 40,000 employees. And, you know, they have a point of view on many topics that are in society. But, you know, banks are interesting that they don't want controversy, so don't expect to see any of this stuff going on. But what you can hopefully expect to see is work that, you know, in time becomes things that you enjoy watching as well. Mm-hmm. I think advertising has a bit of a dirty stigma to it, but creating content that's likable and shareable. I mean, you and I were talking before, we're in the midst of all the Christmas ads coming out, most of which are a bit shit.
We're making a really good one at the moment.
You are? Mm. Please, someone do one. but, you know, I mean, there's an opportunity to try and own particular times of the year, whether that's Spring and Australia Day or whatever that is, but start to build work that people don't mind watching. I think if we can get to that place, then I think it'll be good.
You got to bet the cat videos.
It's all about cat videos.
Mm. Yeah.
So do we have any questions from the floor? Now I've probably gone way over my quota. There are some mics around. Surely someone wants to make Howie say something outrageous on stage. Oh, we have one over here.
Andrew Howie, unemployed.
Yeah, where's your next job? Congratulations on the ad. It's a fantastic ad. Notably, though, it's an ad that took an enormous amount of work, and I think you might have mentioned that there wouldn't be a lot of marketing agencies or marketing people that could probably afford that, to be able to put that into a particular message. But it was uniquely something that was designed, and correct me if I'm wrong, to speak to everybody at once. And I think a lot of the conversation and topics that we're talking about here are sending messages to specific groups, like having unique messages to these ethnic groups. I don't know whether that's always needed as much as we say, but how does that differ from what your challenge was there? I think a lot of the companies that the people in this room deal with need to have maybe unique messages, whereas yours was one to everybody. Very difficult in itself.
You might have answered your own question. Yeah. You know, we are lucky in that we are talking a message of unity, and by the virtue of what that is, it needs to resonate with everyone. So it's about finding that common message or that common topic that actually is relevant to everyone. And that is, no matter where you're from, your background, like, you know, you talk to amazing people who've migrated to Australia and tried to make their new life here, and they talk about the easiest way to assimilate with people in their neighbourhood is through food. Because it's a true representation of who they are and where they're from. And you may not speak very good English and you may not have any idea of how the cultures work, but if you want to meet the neighbours, you cook up a dish that's native to your background and you take it to your neighbours so they can experience some of your culture. The great thing about lamb is it's whilst 45% of what we grow here in Australia stays here, 55% is exported. It's actually a truly global meat. And so many people who've come from various backgrounds will have a story of some sort, the role that lamb's played in their background. So we can do broad messages. How do you do it if you need to be much more specific? I think you still need to start from a higher order purpose and a higher order brand platform and be clear on what that is, and then understand how that can be relevant to the different audiences. Because otherwise that's when it gets too expensive or too hard to do, because you go, how am I going to come up with 14 different messages? Just come up with one message and find why it's relevant to the different groups.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other questions 100%. From the stage? Just one over here. Thank you.
Hi, Reg from Red Elephant. Thanks for presenting today. Just had a question around from your creative experience and picking up on the first question around stereotyping and picking on the stereotypes and using that as the tactic. How do you see over time this evolve when you're trying to reach a you know such a segmented group? From a creative perspective, how do you evolve that message over time and move beyond the Croc Dundee stereotype model for all the different cultural groups?
Well, it was a good question. I have no idea, which is the beauty of what we do. But what we do know, and we'll probably say it till we're blue in the face, we come from, with this brand from unity. How do we talk about unity? So we moved from, you know, with varying levels of success from diversity to taking on the Australia Day topic to religion. I don't know what's next.
Like, well, yeah,
I'm actually about to shoot it. But after that, and every year we'll do something and think, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah, but I think what you will find is that stereotypes are funny, right? Because when you say, oh, it's a stereotype, everyone always has a picture of what a stereotype is. So you can almost stereotype stereotyping. But the reality of what it is we try and use visual or other devices that are a shortcut to get the message done quickly. And so I think if you put someone in an ad just to try and tick off a box, then I think it's stereotyping. If you use something that's a visual representation of a message that you're trying to get across, yes, it's still stereotyping, but I think it comes from a genuine place, which is to help the message. So if you look at the Spring ad and we had all the different whites there, you could argue that's stereotyping what different whites look like, but what it was a creative visual device that helped to shortcut a pretty complicated message. And we had people like Jordan Raskopoulos, who's a transgender, but included her because she was Greek. So you try and use some sort of clever devices to get in there, which tries to break down some of those problems. You know, I mean, Scotty and the team and whoever takes over at MLA are in the process of bringing out what I think is a very clever, not too clever, but like a nice take for Australia Day this year, which is not Australia Day, but it really, again, takes a look at where we're at as a country and the different conversations that are being had and the kind of battles that we're having inside our country here right now. And that's really what Australia Day has been about for the 15 years it's been in existence, is a snapshot of social commentary about what the hell is going on at the moment. And maybe just to not take ourselves so seriously. Like, we've kind of lost that Aussie larrikinness, and we're concerned Australia are taking over and we can't let them win.
And on that, I have let us go horribly over time. So I'd like to thank you both again for your time for joining us today.
You've been listening to a special edition of the Ad News podcast from our Ad News Live Reframing Australia event. Check out our website for more content.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.